And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Good to see you again.
It is great to see you. Great to have you here at KUT taping some more higher ed podcast episodes.
I love doing this. I hope. Do you enjoy this?
I do. It's fun.
I love being with you and engaging in these kind of conversations. We never know where it's going to go. Or at least I don't know where it's going to go. You might know.
Well, no, I do not. I do not. But, you know, one thing I think, if you think about the time when we are taping these podcast episodes, it's a time when we are focused on this one task. You know, it makes me think about something you said in an earlier episode about the idea of working efficiently versus working well. We were talking about technology and interpersonal communication and how those two can sometimes butt heads. And you were noting that, you know, technology and smart devices and all that does allow us to do multiple tasks. That sort of famous multitasking does allow us to be quicker, do multiple tasks. Obviously, there's some drawbacks too. But that idea of working efficiently versus working well, because I think a lot of us would say that if I am working efficiently, then I am working well. Because isn't more better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And yeah, this multitasking thing and with our smart devices. And by the way, I am not above this. I have a problem with this. I am doing five things at once always, which is a problem. But I completely disagree that this multitasking and being efficient is working well. In my mind, working well is being well.
Okay, and, what is that?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
Well, your well-being. How do you take care of yourself? And the truth, I mean, you know, the science, we don't have to go through this, but, you know, the science has shown that if you're multitasking, you're doing five things, but you're not doing any of them particularly well. You're just kind of doing five things at once, but you're not paying attention to really any of them. You're checking email, and then you're working on a document, and then you're going over here, and then you're checking the news, and you're seeing the stock market, and whatever. You're not focusing on anything particularly well. But more impactfully, you are not being well. As you know, I host dinners at the president's house at Southwestern University, and every student before he or she graduates gets invited to a dinner at the president's house, and there's always a conversation that I introduce. And a couple of nights ago, we had one, and the conversation was how to consciously engineer joy in your life.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was very interesting what the students said, because many of them said it was human interaction and it was putting down the smart device. So not being in three places at once, not multitasking, allowed them to experience joy. And I would argue that if we experience joy, we can actually be more successful and more productive. And so even if you are running a business, if you own a business, you want your employees to be joyful and therefore be more productive, rather than be efficient and multitask.
It seems like so many things are set up now with the expectation that we are working in that efficient multitasking mode. I mean, I think the expectation is that everybody does more in less time.
Someone approached me just yesterday and said something about an issue at Southwestern and said, well, why don't we just have this group of colleagues do that extra thing? And my immediate reaction was, okay, great. And what are we going to tell them what to no longer do? Because how are they going to do that and all the other responsibilities they have unless we remove something from their plate? And that's not how a lot of people culturally think, even individually. I'll just do that on top of everything else.
Sure.
Well, you've got to give something else up. Otherwise, you're going to just do everything at a lower quality. And I'm interested in quality rather than quantity.
Boy, if nobody takes anything away from now three seasons worth of podcast episodes, just to hear somebody say that I think is very reassuring, because I do not think that is the message that we are getting from society at large. And I don't think we learn to take something off the plate when we put something on the plate.
And I think we need to do that as a society, as a culture, at the individual level, at all levels. We need to be thinking about that and finding ways to make all that practical.
Would you say there's an application in the field of education here? I mean, we've sort of been talking society at large, people, smart devices. Is there a way to look at this kind of in the realm of education and learning?
Well, again, and it comes back to a question that I have suggested on our program before, which is, what is one's definition of formal education? If you think of the Southwestern University definition, or my definition, about having this life-enriching, fostering experience where you figure out your best and then you become your best self, then I would argue it's actually the opposite. I pride myself at Southwestern University that we are inefficient, and that inefficiency. Yeah, but you're laughing. But to me, this is what makes the small liberal arts and sciences premier institutions shine, because of our inefficiency. If we want to be efficient, then what we do is we take 500 students, put them into an auditorium, and teach them biology all at once. And therefore, you could kind of sit in the back. Maybe it's not even being taught by an actual, you know, scientist, scholar, but maybe someone who's on their way to becoming a scholar. That's very efficient. I'm doing 500 things at once. What we do at Southwestern is take, you know, 15 students at a time and put them into a laboratory experience with a scientist who has dedicated his or her life to enriching the lives of others and moving the frontiers of science forward, and they engage at a human level together. That's very inefficient. So, in fact, I would offer that with respect to an impactful higher educational experience, inefficiency is actually requisite. And if you start thinking about efficiencies, then it becomes less impactful and less personal.
Well, you're just shaking things up right and left.
I'm shaking.
What I want to do then is let's apply this to the puzzler.
You want an inefficient or an efficient
puzzler?
Let's
do inefficient puzzler. Let's do one, only one question of a puzzler.
Okay.
We'll focus just on this.
So very efficient that you're just going to focus on.
We're going to focus just on this.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. I am going to give you four numbers.
Okay.
And I want you to use those four numbers, and only those four numbers, just once.
Okay.
Together with addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, the basic operations of arithmetic. And I want you to produce the number 24.
Okay.
So I want you to produce 24 using 9,
uh-huh,
6,
uh-huh,
11,
uh-huh,
and 3.
Okay.
So using just 9, 6, 11, and 3, those four numbers, each using once, and using addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division,
mm-hmm,
I want you to produce the number 24. And that is your efficient puzzler of the week.
That sounds like a fun one.
You say that with some shock.
Like they're
and
not
awe.
All fun.
Yeah, they're all fun, Jennifer, and this is a bad...
You know what I really am saying when I say that is, I think I can
do
figure
it.
This
I
one
see.
Out.
Well, that's interesting, actually, because wouldn't it be great to be in a cultural world where, in fact, not figuring out is more fun than figuring it out? Like figuring out, oh, I figured that out. Oh, that's not that fun. Whereas the ones that we can't figure out should be the ones that are really fun.
Well, and that's actually not unrelated to what we're talking about of working efficiently versus working well and sort of the differences there, because to me, one of the aspects of working efficiently, and by that, what we were talking about is multitasking and doing a whole bunch of things at once, is the satisfaction in there comes in A, finishing, and B, finishing a lot. So you're drawing satisfaction there in simply getting the tasks done, being able to check the boxes, and that you did a lot of them. Sort of the working well, it seems to me, there's satisfaction in the process.
Right.
In the exploration, the discovery, the questioning, the puzzling, whatever it is, because you're going to have fewer outcomes. It's not going to come as quickly. So you can't really, if that's what your satisfactory payoff is, you're not going to get a very big one. So you've got to draw satisfaction from getting there.
Exactly. And if you want to go deeper, and if you want to have a really true, meaningful experience, you need to give yourself the time, the solitude, if you will, to make meaning, to have those deep, rich experiences. You will not go deep if you're working on five things simultaneously. You will not go deep. And to stop and take one thing and say, I really want to have either a deeper understanding of this or nuanced understanding, or I want to engage in a richer experience with whatever it is, you need to focus on that and nothing else and just give yourself the time to be well with it.
So just as we wrap up here, Ed, I want to give you a little role-playing example scenario. Because what's occurring to me is that this whole discussion about working efficiently versus working well, the working well idea is very countercultural. It goes very much against what our culture puts a premium on, which
today.
Right, which is getting a lot of things done, getting them done quickly, and being able to say, I did these 45 things. What if a student came into your office and plopped down his or her backpack and said, Dr. Berger, I'm fried, I'm strung out, I just can't keep up this pace. I need some guidance, I need some help in going against the culture that's telling me I've got to be on my phone all the time doing this, and I've got to be looking this up and while I'm reading and while I've got earbuds and listening to music. How do I, as a student who comes into your office, go up against that?
Well, this is a great question. And this happens, by the way, not just to me, but to all educators, where students all of a sudden feel overwhelmed. And the ideal thing, of course, that I would love to see is that the student has picked one thing and said, I've focused on this one thing. That's the ideal. It rarely happens. And that's what I would often suggest. Pick one thing. Or sometimes I will offer that one thing. Because sometimes, at least in mathematics or the subjects that I teach, there is a linchpin where if you get that one thing, it becomes a pivot point and everything else begins to fall into place beautifully. And so since I, as an expert in the field, understand the foundational and fundamental things, I will suggest they focus on that first and let the other ones come later. But there is definitely a hierarchy and there's definitely a temporal element to this. You can't learn everything in mathematics or any subject at once. You need to go in a sequential order. And you also need to realize that the understanding you first have will only become greater as you continue. And don't expect that deep understanding on the initial onset. That's why you can't write a paper the night before it's due and expect it to be great. You have to write it weeks in advance and then have that gestation period, if you will, to read it over and say it's lousy, I didn't understand it, my conclusion is not strong, and then make it refined, and edit. That's effective failing. But that's what I would tell the student. Start with something small, go deep, get some confidence, and then slowly work your way out.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us work our way out and keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.